Pastor Craig asked if I would start us off this morning, and he told us that we each had 7 minutes, and then I found out at pastor's dinner the other night that we had 10. Anyway, this morning is almost 14 years to the day. River Valley Bible Church started in February 2000, but it was February 20th. And so there wasn't a Sunday on the 20th of this month, and so we're as close as we possibly can to exactly 14 years that we have been holding Sunday morning services at River Valley Bible Church. But really, River Valley started before February 20th, and as Joan mentioned this morning as we were chit-chatting a little bit, she has, and Bob, they had been praying for a little church here before February. I don't know how many years, but many years before that there would be a little Bible church here in Mesquite. For me, River Valley Bible Church started somewhere in 1999 when I informed God of where I was going to plant a church. And so he began preparing Mesquite for me, even though I was preparing to go somewhere north. I was doing my internship in Leverkin at Mountain View Bible Church, and I began to take trips when I could fit it in, and I drove up to the Richfield area, and there's a Bible church there in Richfield, so I started driving out into these outlying areas looking at the vast mountains and cattle and ranches and a place that has snow and summer and winter and fall. And I began searching for that perfect little community for me, and little did I know that Mesquite was being prepared. I informed God that I was looking for a community with agricultural. I wanted cows and ranches, and Mesquite used to have cows, but now it has tourists. I was looking for a community in the mountains. And yes, they call these hills out here mountains, but I wanted real mountains. I also was looking for a community with four seasons, and Mesquite doesn't even have a hotel named Four Seasons. Here we have hot and hotter, but as Joan and those were praying for a little community, I believe somehow it got to Pastor Tim. Were you guys driving up to Southland? And so Pastor Tim heard that that Joan was looking, Bob and Joan were looking for a little Bible church here in Mesquite. That got to Pastor Ron as I was doing my internship there, and they knew that I was beginning to look for a community once my internship was done to plant a church. And so I thought, well, there are people there that want a church, which is a huge plus when you're starting a church. Because ask Matt and Emery what it's like to go and not have those first few people. I had a group of people right from the very beginning, and that was a huge blessing to know that there were people here that wanted a little independent Bible church. And so I remember driving down to Mesquite and meeting with a few, I believe it was just a few ladies. We had lunch at the old Mesquite Star Casino, which is the Virgin River Convention Center, I think is still the name on the outside of it. I believe it's owned by Eureka now. Anyway, that empty building that sits there had a restaurant in it at one time. And there we had lunch discussing who might be interested in a little Bible church in Mesquite. And from there, it's really history. October, November, December-ish, we had a little Bible study in Mesquite. We titled it, What the Bible Says About. And we went through, as Mark shared in Sunday school, the core doctrines that are on the back of the bulletin. We went through some of those doctrines, and this is what a little independent Bible church would kind of look like. And so we had those Bible studies. The first one, and I still hold a grudge against Panda Garden, but we were to meet at the Panda Garden restaurant, and I had been so diligent to prepare it. I had called in advance to make sure I had the back room reserved. They have a little conference room in there, and I reserved it. And I let them know what we were doing so there would be no surprises that here's this church organization coming in. And the manager said yes. The day before, I had called again to just double check. And the manager said, yes, you know, everything's set up. We're looking forward to having you. And we arrived, and it was a different manager who didn't know about this. And so the room was already full. And as we sat at another group of tables, when they found out we weren't ordering meals, we were just having dessert and coffee and a little Bible study, they asked us to leave. But fortunately, there was someone there with a home, and they opened up our home. We did a few weeks of Bible study in their home. We took a break over the Christmas season, and in January of 2000, we began doing Bible studies again at Bob and Joan's home. And we had a little offering box, that very offering box back there. Someone at Mountain View Bible Church built it for us. And we had it, we set it out there at Bible study, and people began to give to River Valley Bible Church. And I believe it was Bob, somewhere at the beginning of February, said, if our goal is to start Sunday morning services and we've already got a people gathering, why aren't we meeting on Sunday morning? And so we began the pursuit of starting and having our first service. Brad and Cindy with REMAX opened up their office to us. And it was above what was then called Mesquite State Bank and now the Bank of Nevada. They have some rental spaces up there, and REMAX was up there with their office. And there we met. Cindy's office was only half full at the time, and so we got the other half. We set up chairs and began Sunday morning services. But as Mesquite was growing, so was her office, and our space was not growing. It kept getting smaller and smaller. Eventually, we were meeting at the conference room of the bank, and there's like this monster conference table in there, and we were all trying to squeeze around it, and we needed a new place. And so we went over to the Bulldog Plaza. We had 700 square feet, so about, if you take this room in half, and then we put a little classroom in the back corner and a bathroom, and that was our first little permanent, our very own spot. We had it 24 hours a day, so we could start doing Bible studies and Sunday school and all sorts of things as we met in the Bulldog Plaza. And again, we quickly outgrew that spot, and we were able to come over here. And so we've been here since, 2003. It didn't take very long before this became our home, and we have been meeting in here. Was I talking to Ron or Derek or somebody the other day about all the different ways our sanctuary has been set up in here? When we first started, that was the front, and we met. So there was a classroom, or not, my office was in that back corner. There were two classrooms along this side over here, and then the sanctuary was pointed that direction. And as we outgrew that, we needed more. We rented the space beside us here. And the sanctuary was over there, classrooms and fellowship over here. And the sanctuary met, we faced south, and then we faced west. And so we moved that sanctuary around as things grew and changed. And so we, and then came back over here, and then eventually they ripped the walls out of this room. Just it's neat to see how just God has continually caused growth. And things continue to grow, and it's neat because just in this building alone, we have seen how as the church grows, we need to reconfigure, reshape, and even now as we are continuing to grow, we've rented more space. So now we've got the nursery in the back over there, and not the nursery, the junior church and a Sunday school classroom over there because the nursery was so crowded. As Christy would talk about coming home from church and talking about nursery and how the toddlers and the infants and everybody stumbling over top of each other, and it was difficult, and they're looking for a new way of doing things. And so to be able to take out a wall there and put junior church and whatnot all together, it's just been neat over the years to see how God has caused the growth. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 quickly. I'm just going to read four verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. It says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." But God was causing the growth. From the very beginning of River Valley Bible Church, I wanted to have a verse or a passage that would describe the ministry. Not just necessarily the ministry here, but my ministry. A passage that I could turn to for encouragement, a passage that would just give direction. And so as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I knew that that was our verse, my verse. I've shared it many times. I've shared it when I was speaking back at Frontier time and time again, that this was kind of my life verse through planting. I knew that when we started River Valley Bible Church, I guess I shouldn't say I knew. I believed that I would start the church, but I didn't believe that I would carry the church on. I didn't have that kind of passion to just keep going, and I knew that someday that another person would come in and take over the ministry. And so this described the ministry for me perfectly. I planted, Pastor Craig is now watering, but God is causing the growth. And that's the important part of that verse when it comes to the ministry here and for me, and that is that it is God who is causing the growth. We are laborers. We've talked, and Derek and I were talking just yesterday, and I think, Ron, we've been visiting a lot the last couple of days, but it's a neat how God has brought Pastor Craig here, just different personalities, but I feel like Craig and I now work well together. I never expected that. When I thought that I would leave River Valley, I suspected that it would be to go plant another church somewhere. But as God led and brought me into the fire department, it's just been such a neat opportunity to continue to serve and be a part of this ministry here. I never would have imagined that I would get to sit and continue to watch River Valley grow and be this intimately involved in it. I expected to be somewhere down the road watching somebody else carry on the ministry. I shared one time in pastoral theology at Frontier, and I was asked by the teacher to just share a few things. And he said, just share your greatest joys and your greatest sorrows in ministry. And I said, well, that's easy. I can sum that up with one word, and it's people. People are our greatest joy and our greatest sorrow when we come to full-time ministry, and I think just in life. I'm not going to share some of my greatest sorrows, but as I look out, the greatest joy truly is watching people grow and mature. And not just, you know, we're excited about the growth that God is causing here in numbers, that, you know, we're having a problem with having seats and stuff like that, and we're trying to figure out what the next step is. But the greatest excitement of all is watching people grow. I remember when John and Brooke first started attending here, Christy and I were crazy excited to have somebody else close to our age. I was going to say our age, but they're still younger. Close to our age. We were excited that they were here. And I remember the day they walked in and said, we are making River Valley Bible Church our home church. And that was just, I watched the growth in them. And they were growing and mature, but just to see them grow from that day when they made a commitment. And as a pastor, that's exciting to see people grow. One other person that used to attend our church was always a stickler for time. I think this is where I get it from. Shirley's late husband, Larry, he was always the clock man. And I remember one sermon where I went probably 45 minutes long. And I was dreading, as I got to the back of the church, I was dreading Larry. because I know that he was going to tell me, if you can't say it in 20 minutes, it ain't worth saying. But as Larry came, got up, and was walking back, he walked up and he just gave me two thumbs up, and he headed for the coffee. Didn't say a word about being 45 minutes long, just headed for the coffee. And to me, it's watching people grow. I planted, Pastor Craig is watering, but God is causing the growth.
It is wonderful to listen to these stories, because anyone who's ever planted a church, you walk right through those same processes. They're all the same, and they all take miracles. And when you look back, you recognize God's hand, and that these things couldn't be possible without God intervening and directing. One of the components we look for in a church being released to be an independent church is to have a solid pastor in place who loves the church, loves the people, is committed to the word, and you have that here. You know Craig as pastor. I knew him as a brand new baby in the Lord. We have four children, and when those children were handed to us, there is so many emotions that come into your thinking. You think, what potential there is in this child, and what a responsibility I have as a parent to teach them and guide them. And you know that even if you do the best job you can, they may not listen to your leading and guiding. One of the great joys of being a pastor is to have brand new baby Christians in your church and in your fellowship, because it's the same thing. There is incredible potential in that person, and you have the responsibility to spiritually lead and guide them to be what God wants them to be. And not everyone wants to be led and guided. And so, back many years ago, I got a call from a guy in Arizona. It was Craig's brother. And he said, I just need to ask you some questions about your doctrine, about how you function as a church. And so he did. I didn't know where he was going with all of that. And after he asked me a lot of questions, he said, my brother and my sister-in-law just accepted Christ as their Savior. They live in Leeds, and I'm going to suggest to them that they come to your church. And the following Sunday, I met Craig and Janine for the very first time. They walked into the doors. They had not been to any other Bible preaching churches. So they were literally brand new baby Christians. And I just want to kind of let you know, how does someone go from being a brand new baby Christian to being the pastor of your church? What's the process look like? And I'll just kind of share with you what Craig didn't know what I was going to say today, by the way. So if I embarrass him, that's okay with me. But anyway, one thing that was obvious from the very beginning was that they were not going to just be pew warmers. They wanted to learn. They wanted to grow. And every once in a while, as a pastor, you see someone just take off in their hunger for the Word of God, their desire to be what God wants them to be, and that's what Craig and Janine were. They didn't just come to church. They wanted to be a part of church. They were involved with whatever they could be involved with right from the very beginning. And after they'd been there a few months and I'd watched their growth, I asked them to give their testimonies in a communion service. And I still remember how Craig began. I don't know if you've used this line down here, Craig, but all right, good. But he began like this. He said, you know the guy in high school who was the captain of the football team, most popular guy in school, had the highest grade point average? I was not that guy. And I was thinking, is he going to use his testimony as an opportunity to tell us what an incredible person he was in high school? But the place cracked up, and then he went on to share. And what I heard was such clarity in his testimony of what God did for them and what God was doing in their lives. And as a pastor of a church out in this area, when you're sick or when you have to leave, you can't call the local Bible college to send over somebody to preach for you. You have to develop people in your own church to be able to teach and preach. And so I was always in tune to anybody speaking. And as he gave his testimony that day, I thought he might have the gift of teaching. And so every once in a while I'll do a class with the guys in our church, and I'll invite people to come to a homiletics class where I teach them how to put a message together. And I invited Craig to come. And they put a message together and they preach it to us. And some of the guys that I invite to the class, you think, no, I don't think I read this right. They probably don't have the gift of teaching. But Craig, first time I heard him, I thought, this guy, God's gifted him in preaching and teaching the Word of God. And one long after that, we asked him to begin teaching adult Sunday school. And Janine began teaching the kids. I mean, like I said, they were just involved. And he became one of my favorite Sunday school teachers to sit under. And so it wasn't a great surprise to me when he came up to me a while later and he said, Pastor Tim, I think that God might be leading me into ministry. And he said, my family is not on board with that yet. And he said, what should I do? And I remember the advice I gave him. I said, don't do anything. Just keep praying and waiting on the Lord. And I said, if this is something that is, you know, not of God, it'll pass. It'll go away. But if this is of God, it'll intensify, and you won't be able to get away from it. And I didn't hear a word from him for a year. And then he invited my wife and I out to their house. And he's, I also said to him, and you'll be able to say to me, not I think God might be leading me into ministry. You'll be able to say to me, I know God is leading me into ministry. So a year later, we went over to their house for dinner. And Craig said, I know that God is leading me into ministry, and my family is fully on board. And so they soon put their house on the market. They were going to go away to Bible school for training. And we were, as a church, praying their house would sell, that they would be able to go, because that's how they were going to finance their training. By the way, house they'd lived in for years, put a lot of work into. They loved where they were, but they were ready to put that behind and reach forward to where God was leading them. And I remember they wanted to go that fall to Bible school, and as the time drew close, the house wasn't selling, and it didn't happen. And so they stayed, and towards the end of the first semester, their house sold. And they were able to go to Bible school second semester, which became a very important thing later on, which I will get to. But eventually, Craig preached in a church while he was up there and learned a lot while he was at Bible school. And as they were coming to graduation, that is exactly the time that Dave began to say, it's now time for me to hand the reins over to somebody else. And I don't know if you guys knew each other before that a little bit, but we were able to get them together, and then Craig was able to come down here and candidate here at the church, and the rest is history. It was important that he, had he gone when he wanted to go, he would have graduated long before that, probably been a different church, but God was reserving this church for Craig and Janine. And it's amazing for us to watch. This is not just a sister church to us. This is a part of us. Because Craig and Janine were part of us. Many of you who attend here, some of you who attend here, were a part of our congregation at one time. And we were happy to say, boy, there's going to be something right there. Even though we didn't want to lose them, we knew they can be more involved if they're right here. I want to read just this verse, and I'll be done with my 7 to 10 minutes. 1 Peter 5:2 and 3 says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Number one responsibility of a pastor is to be in the Word and in prayer and preparing so when he gets up on Sunday, he isn't just giving you information, but he is speaking out of prayer and he's speaking to your spirit and to your spiritual needs. I know that that's the kind of preaching you get because that's the kind of teaching I got when Craig was a Sunday school teacher at our church. He didn't just share information. He challenged my heart. Second thing it says is serving as an overseer. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Nobody pushed the Jansons into the ministry. They were drawn by the Lord. They were drawn by their love of people and love for the Word of God and love for the will of God. It says also, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Money was not the thing that drew Craig and Janine to the ministry. In fact, they sold their house and financed their schooling to be able to be in the ministry. Then it says this, not being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Craig and Janine understand what I understand, what Dave understood. River Valley Bible Church is not their church. It's the Lord's church. And they are here to shepherd, to under-shepherd the flock for the Lord. And so they lead not just by their words, but their lives, by example. Howard Hendricks talks about people who are in a congregation receive a lot of their growth from what they're taught, but he also says by what they what is caught. And that means by observation of those who are teaching them, whether they're really living what they're talking about. And so it is my privilege to be here and to see the growth and the development of Craig and Janine, to see God using them the way he's using them here. And you are a blessed church. You are blessed to have the pastor that you have and the pastor's wife that you have. And I'm blessed to be able to share in this day. We're proud of you. We're proud of this church and what God's done here and what God is yet to do. There's far more that is coming. And we look forward to praying for you, watching. We're applauding you from up there in St. George. Thank you.